Two Guys, One Rail Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Two Guys, One Rail Podcast with your host Anthony.
And I'm Kevin.
And we're here today to do a breeze through of Ironheart.
Yes, so this is the miniseries from Disney Plus or Hulu, depending on where you are. Mm-hmm. And this is about Riri Williams. And we're going to do a bit of a breakdown between with episodes 1, 2, 3. And we'll give our thoughts, and then we'll go on to 4, 5, 6.
That's right.
So, starting with episode 1, which is Take Me Home, which is MIT student Riri Williams builds an advanced armor suit inspired by Tony Stark. While dealing with challenges as a young black woman in tech, she confronts a tech-based threat and must decide if she's ready to become Ironheart. And then we have episode 2, Will the Real Natalie Please Stand Up? Rhi's new AI dredges up painful memories ahead of her time, ahead of her first heist with Parker and his crew. And then to round off the first half, we have episode 3, We in Danger Girl. Rhi is uncomfortable being part of Parker's crew. She only has 2 more heists, and she only wants to do 2 more, and then she wants out.
That's right.
So, Anthony, what did you think of the first couple episodes, 1, 2, 3?
So obviously, when I started watching it, I just thought I was overcome by this feeling that Riri is very, while she's smart, she's very unlucky. And I think bad luck follows her everywhere. And but you can't mistake that how much of a genius she is. Because obviously she was introduced, for people who don't know, she was introduced in Wakanda Forever. And so she did kind of a mentorship under Shuri in Wakanda. And so this is how people became familiar with her. So this is grounded and centered in her hometown of Chicago. And so, watching it, like I said, I just felt like she has a real shadow over her. She's very unlucky, despite everything that she does. And trouble follows her.
Yeah. Yeah, and which I find with 1, 2, 3, I don't know, she helped out Shuri Wakanda, mm-hmm, and all that, but then she comes back to Chicago.
Yep.
And she doesn't have money.
Yeah.
She doesn't have any wealth, or not wealth, but she just doesn't, she's it felt like the Wakanda people in Wakanda kind of left her out to dry.
Yeah.
Where's the help? It's kind of weird how that, yeah.
Exactly, because again, Wakanda have endless wealth, and you'd think that there would have been something that would have been done for her going home. And Dominic Thorne, who plays Riri Williams, plays her amazing. Because again, she attracts the wrong attention. Obviously at school or university that she's at, she's really pushed her luck. And with all the advances in technology and everything that she's doing, she's pushed everything to its limit and got on her teacher's nerves. And they've been more than gracious with her, giving her multiple warnings that she's basically overstepping her ground, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with you on that one. And with the introduction, sort of a little past with her father and her best friend, Natalie.
Yeah.
Who, had an unfortunate ending with their lives.
Yeah, that's right.
But what do you think of Parker's crew, or Parker himself and his crew?
Well, obviously, when we meet Parker, and obviously he's played by Anthony Ramos, and a great actor, and obviously when you meet him, he's very mysterious, and... Yeah. Obviously, he's a leader, and he's very focused on what he wants. And the crew that he's kind of developed in this made up of different personalities, and they've got one mission, and it's about power. He wants money, he wants power, he wants control.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, all they want is wealth, power, and they just want everything to, you know, he just wants, Parker himself just wants to be the top guy, you know?
Yeah.
And with his crew, I felt they're okay. They're all right. A little bit weird with the two security ones. I forgot their names.
The kind of like a bit butch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's,
they're a bit.
Yeah. It's Jerry and I think Ronnie. And obviously you got Ronnie, you got Clown, Rampage, Slug, and Roz.
Yeah. And Slug's the techie.
Yeah.
Well, the bunch, the other two are the, which we got this, like the muscle kind of group.
The muscle, muscle, yeah.
Yeah.
They've all got their specialities that they're good at.
Yeah.
And,
And with, with overall with 1, 2, 3, I just, the show was a bit of a rough start, I felt, with episode 1.
Yeah.
Was a little bit, I don't know, obviously, just a little bit dragging.
It takes a bit of time to get off the ground, because obviously they obviously wanted to make sure that we knew that Riri is the focus, but developing the characters around her, especially after seeing Gary, her stepfather, and Natalie, unfortunately, you know, meet their end. Yes. And it's Riri not really dealing with the trauma of their death, and also not really confronting problems that she faces. She kind of comes across a problem, kind of pushes it to the side, and keeps going, never addressing it, which is what is one of her main problems.
Yeah, I do, like, it does come across like that. Yeah, she just doesn't want to face, she just wants to find a quick fix.
And this is what kind of pushes her in the direction of Parker, because, as you touched on, she doesn't have money.
No.
And she doesn't have resources. And, like, basically, when she comes into contact with Parker, he kind of offers her, hey, this is going to give you money. It's going to give you opportunity and resources. And while she really needs it, because she wants to build her, you know, her iron suit, you know, so, like, taking him up on that opportunity, you know, she kind of is not really seeing that it's going to lead to more problems.
Yeah. Which also I felt was pretty pretty interesting that they went that way, is that Riri is a genius.
Yeah.
Yeah. She can invent things. Yeah. And why didn't she invent something that made her money?
Yeah.
It's a bit, like, weird.
Obviously, you know, she gets asked a number of times throughout the first 3 episodes, like, why is she doing this? Yeah. And, like, she keeps saying, because she can. Mm. And, like, you'd think that, I mean, at one point she says that if she builds the perfect suit, then, like, it'll be able to help people. But she doesn't help herself. Like, she's always trying to do something, but, again, never addressing the problems that she's currently facing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And also, with episode 3, we are introduced to Joe.
Yes.
Who is a guy who can get black market things.
Yeah, and he's played by Alden Ehrenreich.
Yes. And he's the guy who played, who was Han Solo, wasn't he?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I thought I'd seen that. A nice surprise, actually.
Which was really interesting. I was like, okay, that's cool. But Joe is he's a very quirky guy when you first meet him. He's very cautious. He's a very cautious guy.
Very reluctant.
Yes. And he's basically scared of getting caught.
Yeah. He's good at covering his tracks and stuff.
Yeah. Because where did he get the tech from? Did they mention that?
No.
Or did he just get it from whatever?
I think it gets alluded to later on.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just didn't pick up on that straight away.
Yeah.
But with the first half, 1, 2, 3, it's a very mixed bag for me with rating, like, because I want to rate 1, 2, 3 and then 4, 5, 6.
Mm.
The first half I felt, I think, was mid.
Yeah, and then, like, obviously, as they get thrown into these missions that Parker sends them on, and obviously, Riri's not telling anyone what she's doing. Like, she's not telling her family what she's involved in, which is going to cause trouble for her, too. And these missions are quite dangerous. Mm. And obviously, it's to take down large companies, which leads to a lot of money, obviously. But it's, again, like I said, it's about Parker wanting to consume this power.
Yeah.
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 And obviously, you see the skills of all the different members of this crew. Yeah, and obviously we see that Riri is very reluctant to be part of this as well.
Yes, she doesn't want to be a bad person.
No.
That's her whole thing. She wants to do good, but she doesn't want to hurt people, but she just gets mixed up with the wrong people.
That's right.
And what was your opinion overall? Like, what would you feel like it's a mid 1-2 with episodes just 1, 2, 3, the first half? Did you like it or did you not?
I liked it. I feel that the unfortunate thing about this is that they do such a job about establishing her. There's a lot of detail not explained in about certain things, and again, like, because I think also the show itself got lost in the weeds, and a lot of people are either unaware of it or it's been missed with all the promotion and everything like that for, like, Superman, and it's not getting the traction that it should. And, this should be a hard-hitting, well-received series, because obviously, this is to set up events later on. And again, they need eyes on this, especially being produced by Ryan Coogler and being led by a young African-American actress and a cast, established cast. Again, it's not getting the attention that it should. And obviously, it had a big task. Yeah, this first 3 episodes.
Yes, and I just felt it was a bit strange. I don't know. I feel like Ironheart is for people that are into the Marvel world more deeply. Mm. As someone like me, I'm not fully aware. I'm aware of most characters in the world, but some I'm not. And I just feel like this is more towards those deeper people, which for me, I'm just like, okay. For someone as a casual watcher of all the films and some of this TV series, it kind of gets lost with me in ways, which is not, it's just the way it is. Like, I feel like Marvel is going towards that, you know, hardcore fans.
Like, did you find yourself asking the question, like, is this really necessary? Like, is this show really, like, do they really need to make this?
Yes. I was aware. Like I said, I was with the first half, I was just like, I don't... Why?
Yeah, kind of like a slow burn.
Yeah. It's like, it's... Riri, the actress herself is fantastic. She does pretty good.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if it's the writing. It just didn't come to me as impactful. I was just like, okay, you know?
I was intrigued by Parker because obviously he's mysterious. And then obviously you obviously over this first 3 episodes you learn that he wears a hood that which is kind of otherworldly. It kind of helps influence his influence on the crew, but also it's unexplained, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which but it's
definitely, dark. There's very dark power in this hood that he wears.
Yeah, all right. So we'll move on to the second half now, which I feel is the better.
Yeah, I would agree.
So we have three more episodes. So we get episode four, which is Bad Magic. So when Parker suspects Riri of wrongdoing, she knows she has to figure out a source of his powers. And then we have episode five, Karma's a Glitch. Riri sets out to create a suit unlike anything she has ever attempted, but at what cost? And then the final episode is episode six, Past is in the Past, or Past is the Past. Riri builds her most powerful suit yet, but she's unaware if it's enough to beat Parker in the hood. And a little precursor, people, this is going to be very spoilish.
Yes.
So if you don't know what's, if you don't want to hear about it, you want to watch it, go finish it off if you haven't already. I mean, it's been plastered everywhere over the internet about what's happened, but we're just trying to give you that chance. If you do want to get more in depth, go see it first, then come back and have a listen. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Definitely does, because obviously, as you alluded to with the introduction of episode four, we're coming off the fact that Riri had been on a mission with the crew, and Joe, one of the crew,
he's not one of the crew.
He, again, he's mysterious, but, like, he helps Riri in a way, but then, because Parker's suspicious of Riri after the fact that one of the members got killed during a mission, as he got trapped, and so then that was Rampage, who was played by Eric Andre. Oh, wait, hold on. No, Eric Andre got killed, or Rampage got killed earlier in episode three, I believe it was.
I think it was either episode two. You alluded that there was a thing where Rampage was killed. It was on the news.
Yeah.
And they weren't sure of who. So.
Yeah. And then, like, so Cousin John, who was part of the crew, he ends up getting trapped in one of the buildings during a mission.
Yes.
And so Parker can't handle the fact that John's dead.
Yep.
And because Riri came back without him, it kind of put a lot of focus on the fact that, like, there was suspicion. But then Riri learned from Cousin John that Rampage had been killed. It had been rubbed out, and they kind of faked his autopsy, basically to get rid of him. And we obviously learned that Parker was responsible. But, which is, you know, kind of crazy. But then obviously you realize that Parker's being influenced by a dark force, which obviously we learn later on.
Yeah.
Well, it's going into spoilers.
Yeah, we're in spoiler territory anyway, so might as well just say what their influence is.
Mephisto.
Yes.
And Mephisto has been teased throughout the Marvel films and, you know, influence and dark forces. And so the fact that Mephisto has finally been surfaced in Ironheart, played what I feel masterfully by Sacha Baron Cohen. I was seeing him, and I'm thinking it explains a lot of Parker's behavior. And then obviously, you know, Mephisto basically, you know, is there for his own purposes. And so if Parker sold his soul to get the hood, and then obviously you've seen by this point, Riri has experienced Natalie becoming her AI. and dealing not still not dealing with the fact that she's dead, and she is her artificial intelligence, and then dealing with her family, also becoming aware of what she's doing and the risks involved, and obviously Joe, we learn, is actually the son of Obadiah Stane. And I was shocked by that.
I was too. I was like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, and then like, when they actually say that, like, there was no body, well, from anyone that remembers, you know, Obadiah, you know, he became the Iron Forge.
Ironmonger, wasn't it?
Ironmonger.
Right. Ironmonger.
In Iron Man. And so he was killed. And they had to cover it up, obviously, and said that he'd kind of left. And but to find out that Joe, who became Zeke, Ezekiel Stane, it kind of explained where he got his technology, or where he would have got his resources from.
Mm.
Yeah.
So he's very wealthy, Joe.
But, you know, obviously Parker becomes interested in him.
Mm.
Especially after realizing that Riri hasn't been honest with him about things, and, like, when he realizes that she's responsible for why John died.
So, with touching on that, with how John died, so I think it was at the end of episode 3, they did a big heist to rip off this company, but Riri wanted to find out what Parker's cloak is made of.
Yeah.
She wanted to know what's going on. And she took some technology from Joe, and she accidentally left it behind to where Joe got found out trapped. To be... Yeah. Yes. So he got arrested and sent to jail, and then Parker visit him, because Parker's power is he can go invisible, and he can bend bullets.
Yeah, which I don't know
how that works, but okay. So he goes visit him, gets him out of jail, and then he kind of wants to upgrade Joe.
Mm.
And but does he have a nickname, or is he just called? Was it called Zeke? Or
Joe becomes Zeke.
Yes. Okay.
Joe wasn't. It was. Was a name he adopted to hide his identity.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. And with his upgrades, when you first see his powers, because Zeke gets upgraded and he has electric powers, it kind of reminisced of Whiplash.
Yeah, and like, but the fact that he's so easily controlled.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which does that play into people's fear of AI?
Yeah, I reckon it would.
Because Parker has whole control over Zeke.
Yeah, that's right. And obviously, this is all coming from the hood. But, like, obviously, over time, you see that this hood is actually breaking Parker down. And Parker, in such a lust for power, wants more and more. And is kind of losing control. And then... basically, that's where we meet Mephisto.
Yes. And as you pointed out, who plays Mephisto, what was the actor again?
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah. He's Ali G, isn't he?
Ali G, Borat. That's right. Yep.
Yeah, I thought so. When I first saw him, I was like, I couldn't figure out his name. My God, that guy looks familiar.
And he's a great dramatic actor, too. Yeah. I mean, obviously, he's a great world-class comedian, but he's a great dramatic actor.
Mm. And with his addition to magic to the Marvel world, the Marvel world's not obviously adverse to magic as Doctor Strange. And so we get glimpses of that within the film too.
Yeah, and I was interested upon the point where obviously they kept referencing things that were brought up and introduced in the world of Doctor Strange. Yes. And like Carmitage... and Dormammu,
as
we saw Doctor Strange go up against Dormammu, and he bent time, and Caecilius, who is the wizard that Doctor Strange went up against, or sorcerer, and so all these different references, I thought, oh yeah, I remember that, And because, like, obviously, you don't necessarily have had to have seen previous stuff before this. They do a bit of a explainer kind of things, but there's a lot of magic that's brought up here that I just thought, there's sorcerers in this world, in Chicago, that have not revealed themselves. And, like, again, they were kind of close to Riri, and Riri wasn't aware of it at all.
Well, to Riri's mother, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Riri's mother's got this friend who works at a sweet shop.
And her daughter.
Yeah. Riri's mother's friend's daughter and her mother's friend know magic.
That's right.
So a lot of people know magic in this world, which is very interesting.
And this is the forces of either evil, the influence of Mephisto, and then the power of magic. You know, it made me start asking, like, what's this going to lead to?
Yeah, exactly. What are we going to... What other characters? Well, I did a little bit of digging on Mephisto because I was like, who is Mephisto? I've never heard of this guy in the Marvel world. How is he like a villain? But apparently, he's a very powerful villain within the Marvel world.
Different names.
Yeah, well, he's
Mr.
like...
Mr. Sinister.
Yeah, he's basically the devil.
Yeah.
So, and he's actually... is he sort of a creation of Ghost Rider?
He's in that world.
Okay. So we might even get a sort of a Ghost Rider boot up, maybe.
Well, yeah, I think anything's possible, especially going into, like, Secret Wars or Doomsday. I mean, this could get very dark.
And they did touch on that within the series, which, if you watch the last episode after Riri, well, Riri implements magic into her suit.
That's right.
Which then destroys Natalie.
Yeah, which is her AI. Yeah. And that's when we see Riri meet with Mephisto. And, like, Mephisto kind of offers her opportunities that she's never had before.
No.
And then suddenly, you know, Natalie is alive again.
Yes.
And
because... when Mephisto, he said to her, what do you desire most? Which is a very well-played line within Lucifer, the TV show Lucifer. He says that all the time, too, because he's the devil.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool. That was very clever.
But it's a double-edged sword, too, because it's kind of like, I'll give you whatever you desire, but there's a cost.
Yes.
Yeah.
Magic has a cost.
Yeah. And, like, obviously, I had to ask, you know, it's like, you're implementing magic into her suit. It's like, so how much of the suit is, you know, like, controlled by Riri, and how much is magic? You know?
Exactly. Who knows?
Obviously, what's it going to present with her, with the added influence of the Hood and Mephisto?
Exactly. Who knows? Because at the end of episode 6... because we're in spoilers, Riri takes Mephisto's, not agreement, but she wants Natalie back.
Yeah.
Because she misses her, because she's gone, her AI got destroyed, and she just wants her back, and so she takes a deal with Mephisto.
Yeah, and we see Natalie, who's played by Lyric Ross, and she's basically returned from the night that she originally died.
Yep.
And so when we first see her, Riri's just so happy to see her. She's still thinking that Natalie is her AI.
Yes.
But then she realizes that Natalie's alive. And Natalie says, "Where's Gary?" Natalie's got no memory, obviously, of any of the events of the series because she's returned from the night she died.
Yeah. Yeah, so that could, if they do another season, it'll probably play off that.
Well, yeah. And
yeah.
Obviously, what's the cost of bringing her back, too?
Yeah, and exactly. And then what does that mean for Riri herself? Because she's not a hero then.
No,
in my opinion.
Yeah, throughout the series, she's basically been dubbed a criminal.
Exactly. With this second half of Ironheart, I think was the better.
Yeah, much stronger.
So it took it from a mid and it took it slightly above mid because with the fight between Riri and Parker, when she's like, give me that hood, his whole face changes to like a demon looking.
Yes.
And I was like, whoa, okay. Okay, I was getting excited. I was like, this is great. That was a great transformation. And it shows you what the evil was doing to him. And it
Yeah.
just changed who he was. And the projection of that was fantastic. But they did it. They needed more, I felt,
Yeah, it's like,
with that.
do you think it could feel like it was losing and it's like, you know, to unleash the real darkness within the power of the hood, when he was going up against Riri?
You could see the desperation, and when she takes it off him, oh, you could just see it lift off him, and he's like an addict. He wants it back because he just wants the power.
And
And
he's expressing he's in pain from being without it.
but we're
Because
not
it.
done with Parker.
No. Not at
No.
all.
Because Parker finds Riri's friend, which I forgot her name, but she finds the store.
That's. Her friend was Zelma? Yeah, Zelma.
Okay, yep, Selma.
Played by Regan Aaliyah.
There you go. So Parker finds her at her shop and he wants magic.
And
And that's where we're kind of
that's
left.
it. It's like an open ending.
So what the interpretation is this, like Ironheart itself is a decent series. It's not as terrible as what people are making it out to be. It's not the greatest, but it's not the worst. What it could mean, if they do another season, they need to flesh out more things. But if they
Yeah,
don't,
definitely.
I feel like Riri's just going to be a person they might off
Yeah.
later on. I don't
But
know.
I just think that Disney, I mean, it's obviously well made. It's obviously they put a lot of resources into the show, but like I just think that the timing of it, I mean, again, like when it was first advertised and introduced, I think that they had a lot coming up against it. And once it was released, again, I think the timing was way off, like way off. And that detracts a lot of people's attention away from what should be a well-received series. And so then people just think, oh, it wasn't successful. Well, of course, you know, it wasn't as successful as they hoped because it's not getting in the attention it should have got. Like
And all the
in the,
tension it's getting is worse.
and because all the promotion for it was all bogged down by Superman. And it should have had its own week, it should have had its own whole run of promotion, everything thrown at it, but it was all bogged down and kind of pushed to the side.
This
So,
should have been released with after straight after Thunderbolts.
yeah, I mean, it should have had its own run of time and promotion.
A week after Thunderbolts, they should have released it. But they're so pushing everyone to go see Thunderbolts, they wanted to hold it off. But look what happens.
Yeah, the marketing definitely been sour.
All right. So overall, as a show, what would you rate the show?
Yeah, I think 3 out of 5.
Oh.
Like obviously, it definitely had a lot it had to measure up against, of course. But yeah, I mean, obviously being left open ended, I think there's a lot more we're gonna see of these characters. What
I
about
hope
you?
so. Well, as coming off of what you said, I hope they need a second season and they need to flesh it out. And if they do a second season, you need to put all your money in the bag. But for me, this is a four.
A 4?
A four
That's
because
fair.
it's below average. But the second half was greatest, was the best part, but you can't just but putting it all together, it's a four. If it was the same style as the second half with the first half, it'd be tough to like a six or a seven.
Yeah, like the open endings kind of just, yeah. a lot of questions not answered, and yeah.
But it is okay to watch. I recommend people watch it if you're into diving into Marvel. It is a good addition.
Yeah.
But it's just still, there's nothing that's just that, nothing's, yeah.
It does leave a lot of questions, obviously. And then, obviously, in this year that Marvel has released Captain America, Thunderbolts, this, you know, I mean, the connectivity of it as well, and the timeline, where it sits in the timeline. What's it going to mean for these characters? Are we going to see more of Mephisto? Is he going to become this all-powerful being in the Marvel Universe? Especially with Doomsday, is he going to reveal himself?
I think that's what it's going to lead to.
Yeah.
I think Mephisto's going to have a big influence on Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see. We'll see.
We will see.
All right, folks. Well, that rounds out our Ironheart review. Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you, Kev.
Not a problem, buddy. And if everyone's made it this far, thank you so much. Please check out our Facebook page, Instagram, all our socials, and give us a rating. Tell us your thoughts. Have you seen the show? Did you like it or did you hate it? Let us know.
Yeah, give us your opinions. Like us on YouTube. We've crossed over to the dark side, Kev, with video. And but we're going to keep bringing out more content for you guys. And as always, you know, we thank you for all your support along the way. And yeah, there's plenty more to come.
Absolutely. All right, guys, until next time, see you in the next one.
See ya.